Morning to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. We need to read all the verses in 2 Peter chapter 3 because of the nature of our subject, although we will find our text subject verses in the last two verses of that chapter. But we want to read the whole chapter so that all of you can understand where Peter's going with his writing to the saints of God when he addressed them in this last part of this book. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through the whole chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You hear any of that nowadays? I believe we do. I believe we hear more and more of a noise like that. And it is nothing less than a noise and nothing more than a noise from people that Peter aptly describes further down. Where is the promise of His coming? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that the Word of God, by the Word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. I want you to notice that Peter points to a great truth there, and that is that the deluge happened simply because God said, let it be. And that is the great power of God. Now, there are a lot of folks today that try to explain away the many evidences that some massive deluge or flood covered much of the earth. A lot of people try to explain that away. But I don't have to explain it away, because by the Word of God, the earth was kept. And by the Word of God, as He spoke the Word for the rains and the breaking open of the waters of the deep, the earth was flooded and all human life except the family of Noah was destroyed. That's my explanation. And it's a sound one. A lot of folks don't believe that today. A lot of folks say it's not true. That's the very kind of folks Peter's talking about. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, looking at verse 7, by the same Word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The same Word of God that said, let the earth stand its ground. Let everything flow as it should. Let everything happen as it should. Let the earth continue in its standard procedure for just this long. Is the same Word that said, I'm through with that. I want a flood upon the earth. That's the same Word that today, my friend, says, let things continue right now just as they are. Let the earth rotate around the sun. Let the earth turn on its axis. Let spring and summer and fall and winter come. Let men propagate upon the earth. Let all things be in order as I've unfolded them. That's the Word of God that keeps this earth as it is. And by that same Word, God will speak one day, and the judgment of God will occur, and the earth and the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and God shall bring all souls before His presence to give an account of what they did as the creatures of God given a lease upon this earth to go out in their lives and serve and honor the great God of keeping and creation. That's what God's told us so far. But beloved, He's speaking out of the saints of God, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, I want to bring a solemn fact to your attention right here out of this Word of God. I want to speak a moment to the lost and the saved alike. And I want to say to you that what God says here in this Word about why He is holding back is because He's long-suffering to the saints of God, to the elect of God, to usward, says the Apostle Peter by inspiration of God. So if you're here today and you haven't come to the knowledge of your sinfulness, you haven't bowed your head before God in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to inform you of something that you really need to know. It may help you in times to come when you're faced with some child of God who's telling you the truth about the judgment of God and the salvation in Christ. And that thing that I want to tell you is this. You live on an earth right now that continues with the sunrise and the sunset, the moonrise and the moonset. You live on this earth and go about your daily duties week by week and month by month. You have the air that you're borrowing from God that you breathe. You have the water that you're borrowing from God that you drink to stay alive and not die from dehydration. You have the food that you borrowed from God and feed upon to keep your body alive. You have all these things. You have the family that you have and the friends that you have. You have the job that you have. And you have the house and the car that you have. And you have the strength and the health that you have as a borrowed thing from God. And the reason for that is here. That God has been long-suffering for the sake of the elect of God. You live here because of a contract between God and His people. So the next time, poor lost sinner, that you are tempted to despise one of the children of God, you may be looking into the face of someone that God has kept this world afloat for. Think of it. It's important. It's important to how you deal with people in your life in this world. The Bible shows you that right here in this verse. Long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'm not going to belabor the truth here, that this verse and this last phrase talks plainly about the fact that God has set things in motion to keep this world afloat until such time as He shall call every one of the elect of God to Himself through salvation. There's no guarantee that the earth will continue 1 second beyond that time. Because according to this verse, that's why the world stays afloat right now, brothers and sisters and friends. Think about it, please. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is a point to have fear about if you're here this morning and lost. This is an important disclosure from God that you need to be sensible to, aware of, and be afraid concerning. Because I want to tell you something, my friends, if you're here and lost, the last thing you want to do is to fall off into eternity at the coming of the great God and be left in this state where that God comes to call you to judgment when He ends it all. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now we note, this part of the message is explicitly to the children of God here. God won't talk to a lost person about that kind of thing. You know why? Because you can't be holiness You can't be holy unto the Lord. You can't have a holy conversation or manner of life. And you can't have godliness if you're lost. Only to those that righteousness has been imputed by the saving blood of Christ, only to those can God speak about things of holy conversation and God-likeness. So this is an address to the children of God. And notice this, brothers and sisters. He's calling upon us. He's pointing to us and He's saying, since you know these things, how careful should you be in all your holy conduct, conversation, and in godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, listen, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you're here this morning and saved by the grace of God, there's going to be a new creation for you. It's the new heaven and the new earth. God is going to make something for His people which they will enjoy through eternity. After this wicked earth is melted and the heavens that contain it are melted, God will create a new heavens and a new earth, and there won't be one mark of sin upon it, ever. Those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are waiting for that day. They are crying for that day. They are longing for that day. You know, God's people who stay close to God can feel the impact of the promise of God about this. And they want it to happen because that takes them to the place that their soul of soul longs to be. And that is a place of pure righteousness forever with God in holiness and done once and for all with the things of sin. Ah, that we might get there. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. You can give a man a Bible, a man that's lost a Bible, and he'll develop a religion using the Bible that will be as far from the true religion of God as one can imagine. This is exactly what the apostle's talking about in verse 16. We've got a religious species called man. And oh, how he loves to practice religion. Problem is, he can take the purest and most righteous of source books and twist the words of that source book until they sound like something out of a fairy tale. Why do they? Because when man makes a religion out of the words of the Bible, the religion is custom tailored to fit the lost and undone condition of those who rest to their own twist, to their own destruction, the Word of Scripture. You know, man's an artiste at building false doctrine out of the good Word of God. I mean, all you've got to do is get a man to thinking in a religious vein, and without the new birth, he'll come up with something that is so far-fetched that a child of God won't even recognize that it might have been something associated with the Word of God. That's what he's telling us there. But here is our enjoinder to the children of God. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, any of you that are saved. This is the enjoinder to us as God's people. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. I want you to notice first of all, as we look at these last two verses, that the apostle draws our attention to the fact that you know about these things that he wrote about and that we read to you in the first 16 verses. You know about these things beforehand, before they come. You're forewarned about the things that you can look to be happening upon the earth. And because you're forewarned, he gives us some advice. And this advice outlines for us two possible states of your life as a child of God upon earth. The one state is expressed in verse 17. And the other state is expressed in verse 18. And I believe that the apostle is telling us here, as children of God, you got to watch it or you'll be in the category in verse 17. But it's possible to circumvent that and be in the category of children of God that's defined or described in verse 18. Now let's look at them. First of all, the first state that he mentions, he says in this verse 18, or in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware." Beware of what, Brother Peter? "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now some men who twist scriptures to their own destruction will try to preach to you that this means, oh, a child of God can get saved and then get lost. Brother Peter says that he can. That's not what that says. First of all, remember this is an address to the brethren, the elect of God, those who were foreordained before the foundation of the world to be brought into the fold through the blood of Christ. They were called according to the purpose of God. And those that he called, he justified. And them that he justified, he glorified. And when we are saved, we are saved. Saved doesn't mean shall be saved. It means saved. If you're saved this morning, that means that Christ bought you off of the slave market of sin. So taking this for what it's worth, let's read this as an address to the brethren. Because we need to. As children of God, we need to be forewarned. And we know beforehand, not just with Brother Peter, but a lot of places, even our Lord Himself warned us of these things to come, that they were coming, and we needed to be aware of it, lest we, as He puts it, fall from our own steadfastness. What a danger that is today for children of God, to fall from your own steadfastness. It's an ever-looming threat to your spiritual life. It's an ever-looming threat to your service to your great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, Peter says, seeing you know these things before, you need to beware. Now what things is he talking about? Real quick summary of what we just read. First of all, as we read in verse 7 of our text, that the same Word of God which brought the flood and the destruction of the world is the same Word of God that keeps the earth right now in reserve, waiting for another judgment upon mankind. We need to remind ourselves of that, brothers and sisters. You won't have much of a testimony of warning lost folks about what they're facing if you do not feel strongly about the fact that one of these days the trumpet of God is going to sound and the archangel of God is going to descend with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything's going to change. And from there, it's all downhill for the lost man, woman, boy or girl, because from there, the world is heading for an utter destruction and melting away. And from there, every soul is heading inevitably to stand before the great judge of all the earth, either at that awful white throne where He will judge those who have never known the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming. And you as a child of God, we'll have a hard time convincing lost folks of the reality of it unless you really believe and hold fast to this truth. It has great hope for the saints of God, but oh, it has great terror for lost folks because it is coming without fail. The next thing that he's talking about that you need to keep in memory, that you need to remind yourself, that you need to keep in your mind, and another reason why you shouldn't fall from your own steadfastness is in verse 9 of our text, that the Lord is long-suffering for the purpose of bringing every child of God into the fold. That's what's holding things back. He wants all of His people in the fold. In verse 10, we find another reason, and that is, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, a lot of people use that to portray the sudden, imminent appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that if we ferret out the great truth in this, we'll see an even more important message, and that is that just like a thief comes suddenly upon the property owner, so God is speaking here about how that coming of the day of the Lord will be. What is that? It means that as the thief doesn't advertise that he's coming, because that was the issue here, you know. That was the issue that brought about this criticism and skepticism that Brother Peter was writing about. And the people say, I don't see any signs. I don't see anything, Lord. No message across the sky. No, God isn't coming down and sending prophets to say, the time is January 22nd, 2017. Now, if you hear somebody say that, diss them all. It's meaningless. So these people were saying that and saying, so it's just a big fantasy. It's a big fairy tale. And that was the issue. Peter reminds us, though, of a reason we shouldn't fall from our steadfastness. And that is being reminded that the coming of the Lord will be as a thief in the night. He won't advertise or give any indicators that will give us a time of day. And there's no advance notice at all. Oh, I'm coming on such and such a date, as I've already said. Won't happen. And this also is an illustration of how that in a moment, when the property owner doesn't really expect it, sleeping away, sawing logs in his bed, not the slightest imagination that some thief is going to break in. Going on a wonderful vacation down there, and he's away from home, enjoying himself, and he made sure he locked all his doors and so forth. Never thinks about the thief that's coming. That is what the Lord's talking about. So these are reasons why you shouldn't fall, brothers and sisters, from your own steadfastness. Stick with the truth of God. Believe the Word of God. Fix it firmly in your heart. And let it be there as a testimony. Now, there are reasons why you might fall, and Brother Peter gives us those also. Notice how he says it this. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Beware. Now, that, in country boy terms, that means something like, be aware defensively. Be defensively aware. That is, have a concept in your mind, have an ideal in your mind, have a thought in your mind that these things are coming to pass. Have a thought in mind of things that could happen to draw you away from this steadfastness. Be aware that you can think some things, pick up a practice of things, Do some things that will draw you away from this steadfastness. Be aware. First of all, that you can easily begin to doubt some of the things that the Bible says. How many times have you heard some atheist, some learned professor talk about evolution and how all of this had to come about as a result of just things that just unfolded over millions of years? And this little question popped up in your mind. I wonder if there could be some truth to that. And you forget. You may forget that God clearly defined for us, explained to us how it all began. As soon as you begin to think, well, there may be some element of fact to that, there's a steadfastness, there's a failure beginning to happen in your steadfastness in believing the Word of God over the testimony of any living man. And so, when we're not aware of that, we can forget some of the things the Bible says. Maybe we can fail to be aware that we can fall into spiritual carelessness. And in this spiritual carelessness, we'll be slumbering away when it all comes down the pike. That's what he's talking about. Beware. Beware of anything entering into your life that draws your attention away from the Word of God, from the truth of God, from the things of the Word of God. You know, when we do fighting, I'm a fighter, that's right. I'm a fighter for Jesus. But when we do fighting, Brother Ed can testify to this, it doesn't take but just a little fly flying over here to distract you from what may happen. You may be focusing on the enemy. You may be focusing on the other contestant. And in a moment, a fly zipped by. In just that moment, you may just flick your eye for a second. If that assailant is there and ready, like so many of these things in the world are ready to take you away from your steadfastness, in that moment of the blink of an eye, when the fly comes by, he can reach out and get you. And you don't know what happened. That's the way it happens to children of God in the world. Overtaken by things of the world, they are tempted to drift off into a lack of steadfastness for the things of God. I believe that 99.9% of Christians today who are out there wandering around in the world have suffered this awful disease. They have fallen from their own steadfastness. And they're just wandering Christians out there, kind of like, if you will, wandering about in the world, really not clear at all on where they're going and what they're doing. Are you one of those Christians? Are you here today and just wandering around the world, spending your time on nothing? Spending your time on things that are inane, things that are of the world, things that have no meaning in the grander view of the purposes of the kingdom of God. Are you one of those Christians? Think! Think! Beware! Lest you fall from your own steadfastness. These things are a reality to the children of God. And the second thing that we notice is something that Brother Peter tells us that might cause us to fall from our own steadfastness is this thing of being led away with the error of the wicked. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What does this mean, being led away with the error of the wicked? I think this means, among other things, that we begin to entertain the idea of those who question the return of Christ and future severe judgment of the world. I believe it means that. Or at least that's part of it. We begin to say, well, the world's been around at least 6,000 years or more, going on 7,000 maybe, and nothing's happened. And like these people that are saying, talking about this, maybe it's not really going to happen. Maybe it's time for us to embrace modern ideas and just accept the fact that what scientists are telling us is true and what what the critics of the Word of God, the skeptics of the Word of God are saying is really true. And when you do that, You've in effect been led away with the error of the wicked. Now, there's a whole bunch of religious people today, brothers and sisters, that are in that state. I'm not saying the saved people. I'm saying the religious people. Many religious people today that claim to believe in Christ, and yet they also have stopped, if they ever did believe, stopped believing that only the Word of God keeps the world in a state of stability. They've stopped believing that. It's just everything's set in motion, everything's balanced, and nature does her job. Nature does nothing without the divine supervising finger of God. But there are a lot of people today that call themselves Christians that actually talk and teach that way. Watch! Beware! This is the error of the wicked. There are a lot of people today that call themselves Christians who have stopped believing in hell. They have fallen away to the error of the wicked. Now, it'll be for God to sort out whether they're saved or not. But I'm warning you, children of God, because it can happen to you. It can happen to you. The Apostle Peter would never bother to say anything about this if this was just something that lost people did. He's writing to the saints of God. It's a spiritual book and a spiritual message. And that message is, beware, saints of God, lest you yourself, falling into the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness concerning the things of God. Now, the second possible fate, or the second possible state that our text talks about, I won't spend very long on, but it's made obvious and explained pretty fully in a real concise manner in the 18th verse. But grow, saints of God, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the other state for God's people to be in. And it is the best state. It's the only state that we should ever accept as the standard for the people of God. Are you here today and saved by the grace of God and just out yonder, all you have now is an experience of salvation? You've never gone beyond that. You got baptized maybe, but you haven't gone beyond that. You truly repented. You know you repented of your sins, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you haven't gone beyond that. You just keep laying those foundations over and over again, those fundamentals. It's all the further you get. Are you like that, child of God? If you are, do you know what's happened? Your spiritual growth has gotten stunted. It's gotten stunted. Maybe you've fallen away to the error of the wicked. And that error of the wicked covers a lot more territory than I'm able to cover this morning. But maybe you've fallen away to the error of the wicked, and as a result, you've frozen up in growth. You haven't matured. You haven't gone beyond what you first experienced in the day of your salvation. You haven't gone beyond it. You're still just a baby. And you can barely digest the milk of God. Are you there? This is for you. Grow in grace. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have time to deal at length with this, but when I say to you from the Word of God, grow in grace, what does it mean to grow in grace? Well, the Greek word that was translated out here means what you would probably use today is the word enlarge. See what he's saying? Enlarge in your capacity concerning grace. Wax larger in your capacity. And wax larger in your apprehension or gathering to yourself the things of the grace of God. Grow in the favors of God. Now, I don't have time to deal with all the favors of God, but there are three that are great and premium that most of you saints of God know about. Faith, hope, and love. Three things that endure through time and eternity. These are graces of God. Faith is grace of God. It is a favor God has extended to you by which you were saved. Hope is that steadfast confidence that what God has promised, He can and will bring to pass. It is a grace or a favor from God to your soul. And love, the godly kind, not the love of the world, but the love of God, is a grace from God extended to you through the very work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in these things, saith the Scripture. Now, how do you do that? Wish I had time to preach a whole other sermon on this, but I'll sum it up in a sentence. You grow in the grace of God by practicing whatever they dictate. Exercise your faith in the Christ who saved you. When it comes to life issues, have faith in God. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in your own wisdom. Trust in God. Trust in Christ. Trust in the eternal Word. Trust in what God tells you to do with your life. That's exercising the grace of faith. Have confidence that whatever's happening in your world today, God will sort it all out for you. He knows how. And He's promised to do it for you. That's hope. Steadfast confidence in your God. And He'll bring you from there to the gates of heaven. Because He said He would. That's hope. Exercise that confidence in God instead of fainting dead away. Every time some little calamity comes up, we fall over and say, "Oh, woe is me, I'm done for, I have no solutions." Do we do that, Christians? Christ is the solution. Hope or confidence in Christ is your solution for every dilemma. Exercise it. That's guaranteed to grow you in grace. And love the children of God. Love men everywhere. And exercise that love when you have opportunity to do it. That will be sure to grow you in the grace of love. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I can close that last phrase, growing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like this. What I just spoke to you about growing in grace and growing in knowledge of Jesus, go hand in hand. In fact, I'd say something more accurate than that. It's like two views of the same hand. Because if this is growth in the grace of God, this is growing in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have one without the other. If you will just exercise the graces that God has given you, believer, then in fact, you will grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And growing in that knowledge is a cyclical thing, because the more you grow in the knowledge of Christ, the more the grace increases in your life. The more the grace becomes meaningful in your life. The more useful the grace that you have is to you and others. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I want to sing an invitation number. I wonder if the Lord has spoken to you about something this morning. I don't care if you're not a member here. I care. But it doesn't matter if you're not a member here. If the Lord has spoken to you about something this morning that you think will be a blessing to us to share it with us as we sing an invitation number. Whether you share it with us or not, if the Lord has spoken to you today about something that you need to be doing with your life, I exhort you as a minister of Christ to get busy doing it. The very least, as a child of God, you can do for His name's sake.